anywhere you find flies.
When I think about the cross and my Savior had to bear, and how he died for me upon the tree, in my heart with fervent plea, Christ, O Lord, it was for me. Let me be worthy.
Special surprise for you this morning. Is it Malia? Malia, it's Carl Nancy's granddaughter. So glad. Been in Germany a few years, I think, and so I know she had wrote some songs, and I don't know if this is one she's written or not, but
excited to Your grace. I told them once, told them twice, till they never will believe me. I stand out, they fit right in. God, this world is so deceiving. Yet through it all, Father, let your light shine through. Give me strength for what you've called me to, no matter what they say. Your love remains, your love remains. People can never change people. Only God can do that. Yet you're using us to reach them in a way that only you can. Father, let your light shine through. Give me strength for what you've called me to, no matter what they say. Your love remains, and it can never, never, never separate. No, it can never, never, never separate. What you did for us that day, when you gave your life away.
But I feel like it's the way the Lord has led me this morning. And Labor Day became an official holiday in 1894, recognizing the American labor movement and the contributions that the workers have made. So they started giving them a day off. And this morning I'm going to preach about the labor part, and then this evening we're going to talk about the rest that goes with it. But I want to ask you a question this morning, and not spiritually, but just physically and naturally. Why do we work? Well, I have to because Rhonda says to, but I work so you can eat. But we have, if we... we want to accomplish things, so we have to work, don't we? And eating is a big accomplishment we have to take care of. And
I do very well, and it looks like I do more at than I do working on. But we work so that we can enjoy things. We work so we can enjoy food, we can enjoy clothing, we can enjoy a home, we can, and that's the way that it's set up. And the Bible, one of the reasons, I guess the main reason is the curse that God told Adam, said you'll earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. And so that's what we do. And but I want to look at it on a spiritual realm now about the work. How do we work spiritually? You know, what if we didn't work any more physically than we do spiritually? Would we be heavier? Would we be slim? But I'm going to look this morning, and hopefully, if the way the Lord's leading, I'm going to give us an encouragement to work harder spiritually than we ever have. To focus more on the kingdom of God and winning people to the kingdom of God, being involved in the work of the Lord and being involved in the things of God more than we ever have. If I could accomplish that this morning, then I would accomplish the feeling that I feel that the Lord's laid on my heart. But if you would stand with me to Luke chapter 16, and we'll start at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And he lift his, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I'm going to read on a little more. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy and grace. So thankful, God, to be able to call upon you. So thankful for a place called heaven. So thankful that you make a way that we can miss a horrible place called hell and make heaven our home. And God, I thank you that you stirred my heart last week, and it wasn't even what I was prepared to preach, and you stirred me on to preach about heaven. Now this morning, you're wanting to show the other side of the coin. God, I pray you'll take this message, take old preacher boy, so unworthy. Lord, I pray you'll forgive me and make me usable. Have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. See, I want to share a message with you this morning. Who cares if a sinner goes to hell? And what a sobering thought. There's millions goes out into eternity ever so often. I don't know. I start to say every day. I don't know if that many dies a day or not. But there's millions of people that's fallen right off into eternity, into a devil's hell. Who cares about it? Do we care? Do we have a concern? Does that really jump foremost in our spiritual lives? And when we pray, do we go to God often and often to these that's lost, that's never called upon Jesus as their Savior? Does our spiritual condition, are we sure this morning where we stand with God? The most important decision that'll ever be made in a human's life is a decision to ask Jesus to come into their heart, to ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins and be the Savior of their soul. Without Jesus Christ in their life, without a calling upon His name and humbling ourselves and saying, Jesus, please forgive me and come into my heart, hell will be the home of the human life. According to the Bible. That's not what I say. That's what the Bible says. See, that hell's a fearful and often forgotten text. It makes us uncomfortable when we hear and talk and think about hell. It's fearful because of the subject. Hell is a fearful thing. That's caused a lot of people to change and commit their life to Jesus Christ. It's fearful because of the speaker. The one that, not me, but the one that these words was in red. Jesus Christ is the one that spoke these words. He's the preacher of this message. Boy, that's fearful because He has all authority and all power. It's forgotten. It's a text that a lot of people choose not to preach on. A lot of sermons anymore has to do with souls going to hell. But I tell you, we as preachers and we as teachers and people in the church, it's our job that people knows about hell. If you don't know about hell and you don't know that there's a place opposite of heaven, then we'll just go and stumble right off into it. C.S. Lewis said, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, the soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signpost. Just to do nothing, take it easy, everything's going to be all right, is the attitude of a lot of people that winds up in hell. I don't want to shake the boat. I don't really want to get involved. I'm not real concerned about spiritual matters. I'll sow my wild oats. I'll worry about giving my life to Jesus when I get older. I'll be concerned about some of this later on. That's the road that'll take you to hell. See, and I want to spend a few minutes, and I got a lot of stuff that I'm wanting to spend, share with you this morning, but I want to speak just a few minutes on who cares if a sinner goes to hell. Well, first of all, God the Father cares. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I tell you what, the Father cared enough He gave the best heaven had to offer. He gave the only Son that He had to offer. He gave Him for mankind that we could be saved and not have to go to this horrible place called hell. See, Bethlehem's stable cries that the Father loves sinners. Calvary's cross says God cares about who goes to hell. The empty grave says the Father cares about sinners. And as we wait on Jesus' return every day, the Bible said in Peter, He said that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. He has given us a long time to make things right and to ask Jesus to come into our hearts. See, God the Father cares if a sinner goes to hell. Jesus the Son cares if a sinner goes to hell. In Luke 19 and verse 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad today of Jesus coming that we could have an opportunity to call upon Him? I'm glad that hell's not my home today. I'm glad I've been spared from it. Because of Jesus and what he done on the cross. In Luke 15:2, the Bible said the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." He came to save sinners. Glory, hallelujah. I'm glad because I'm in that pile. I'm one of them. Thank God that he came. And on the cross when he was hanging there and the thieves was there and the one thief said, "Well, if you was really Christ, you'd get down here and get us too." Another one said, "Don't you? What's wrong with you? See, we're here justly and he's not." And he leaned over and said, "When you come in, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Boy, and I tell you, I love these words. He said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Glory, hallelujah. It's important enough to him. He saved one while he was dying on the cross. He didn't think about himself. He didn't think about his pain. He didn't think about his anguish. He didn't think about his torture. He didn't think about his trouble. He didn't think about the things that are going on to him. He was concerned about that lost sinner hanging on. Well, glory, hallelujah. That's the Savior that we serve today. Also, the Holy Spirit cares if a sinner goes to hell. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and moved. And it's a wild time. And some of them said they're drunk. People said, "Oh no, this is that new wine. It's that new wine Joel talked about." Well, glory, hallelujah. This is the Holy Spirit of God. And 3,000 people got saved that day. Glory, hallelujah. Ain't you glad that the Spirit cares? The Father cares, the Son cares, the Spirit cares. See, he empowers believers to be a witness. Acts 1:8 says that you'll be endued with power from on high to be witnesses. You go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad for the power of the Holy Spirit to make us witnesses? I tell you what, and I'm glad today that he still speaks through Christians. He's still working. He's still convicting. He's still guiding people to be a witness, giving the boldness and the strength to give their testimony, giving the boldness and the strength to invite someone to church, giving the boldness to declare that I've asked Jesus into my heart. The Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. See, this is the harvest time. This is the only time when Jesus comes back, it's going to be too late. We can't harvest anymore. Jesus said, "Work while it's day, because the night cometh, no man can work." It's the daylight. It's important that we're busy about the things of God. See, the Holy Spirit cares. He reveals Christ to the repentant heart. In Titus 3:5, the Bible said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." I'm so glad of the renewing power that comes through the Holy Spirit of God. Heaven cares. The Father cares, the Son cares, the Holy Spirit cares, heaven cares. You might say, "How do you know heaven cares?" Well, Luke 15:10, the Bible says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels, of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Glory, hallelujah. Heaven takes notice when someone calls upon the name of the Lord. The angels shout. They have a spell when somebody gets saved. I think we ought to too. Glory, hallelujah. If heaven's tearing up and cutting a rug over somebody getting saved, I think the preacher ought to. Amen. I think the people that's prayed for him for a long time ought to. That's a time to lose your dignity. The morning my brother come to the altar down at Limestone, I wasn't able to be there. There was a woman in church. She said, "If I don't shout, I feel like I'm doing Brother Tim a disjustice." Praise the Lord. It's okay to get beside yourself. Heaven does. Every convert brings praises and singing in heaven. Glory, hallelujah. We make heaven glad when we lead people to Jesus Christ. You won't get heaven tore loose, just win somebody to the Lord. You didn't think you could have impact on heaven, did you? Woo! Glory, hallelujah. And last one, you may not believe, but hell cares if a sinner comes. The rich man, but Abraham, I see, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou, in thy lifetime receivest the good, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou are tormented. And beside this, there's a great gulf fixed between us that they which were passed from hence you cannot, and they which were passed from us from thence cannot. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. And he was in hell. He had five brothers that didn't want to come. See, hell cares if a sinner goes to hell. Do we care? What concern do we have over a sinner going to hell? The cry of the rich man was, send Lazarus. Please, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my family. I'm telling you, 5 minutes in hell and we'd be concerned. We'd be the greatest evangelist that you ever seen. If we could look into hell. I want to ask you this morning, are we laboring over souls of men? Are we concerned about the condition, spiritual condition of people? Are we concerned about our own spiritual condition? I'm afraid so often we get so bound up and so wound up in the things of the world that the spiritual matters don't matter that much to us. And our neighbors come and go. Our families. I want to share with you a little bit the Bible's description of hell. I want to give you an encouragement to work harder than you've ever worked. Are we concerned over hell? Are we concerned about it in our lives? Are we concerned about it in the lives of our families? Are we concerned about it in the lives of our neighbors? What about the folks around us? What about the people we work with? What about the folk just down the road? What about the one that bags your groceries that smiles and is so good to you and rings up? What about the folks that we run into? Are we concerned about them? It's called the lake of fire. A short time ago, there was all these volcanoes. And we'd see those images of that lava burning and coming down and rolling. I could not help, in my mind, every time I seen that image, I thought of hell, the lake of fire. That's exactly what it sounds like. That's exactly what I believe probably going to be like. The Bible says it's a bottomless pit. It's a horrible tempest. A devouring fire, a place of weeping and wailing, a place of torment, everlasting destruction, a place of outer darkness, a place where men have no rest, a place where men are tormented with fire and brimstone, a place where the fire is not quenched. Boy, it don't sound like a place I want to go. It don't sound like a place I want anybody to go. I want to share what Billy Sunday said, the great preacher, said hell is the highest reward that the devil can offer you for being a servant of his. That's all the devil has to offer is hell. Oh, Lord! What a reward! It makes me want to be sure I'm on the right side of the cross. Makes me be sure that I've got things right with God, that I'm where I ought to be. I sure don't want to go to this place that I've been reading about. In 2 Samuel 22:6, the Bible said, "The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me." This is the cords of hell had a hold of me, David said. The Bible says in Mark 9:44, "Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." A lot of people has different beliefs on what this worm is. Some think it's an actual worm. I don't. Some think it's just the never ending of it. Said the worm dieth not, so if it don't die, the soul don't die. I've kind of believed through the years it's your conscience. There ain't nothing to nag at you and eat at you like your conscience will. I'm going to tell you one on me years ago. I was so wound up, and it was before we got in church. Man, I had a lot going on. I had a lot of jobs. And I was working a job. I do side work as a fireman. I was raising about 4 or 5 acres of tobacco. Had one time 25, 30 head of cattle then probably. I was working day and night. I was burning the candle at both ends. And I had a bunch of tobacco cut, stuck in the field. I don't know how many of you know what I'm talking about, but it was stuck out. And you know you want to get it up before it rains. Well, I got in the truck and I drove down and turned on the radio. Thunderstorms coming in this evening. And man, that was the last straw. I was wound up. I reared back with my fist. I had a 1990 Chevrolet truck. I bought it new, pretty, a nice truck. I reared back and busted the windshield, just hit it, because my tobacco was going to get wet. Now, pray for me. Pray for Rhonda, yeah. But I'm going to tell you, the next 2 weeks, every time I got in that truck and I looked at that windshield, I said, "You're the dumbest guy I've ever known." That was stupid. Ever till I got that fixed, $196.98, $200 that I didn't have, didn't afford, just because I hit that windshield. Now, I'm telling you, that tortured life found me for a long, long time. Eat at me. Could you imagine being in hell, all this trouble and turmoil, and all this punishment, saying all I'd had to done was call upon Jesus? The Holy Spirit moved on me in that service, and I said no. Throughout all eternity, that service, whichever one it would be still and eat at you like a worm. I'm convinced that I believe that that's what it is. And every time that you said no to Jesus Christ, that worm would bite a little deeper. Wow. Revelation 21:8 says, But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Matthew 13:42, "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Of course, gnashing when you grind your teeth together in pain or anger. So I don't know, and you've probably heard, but when you preach on hell, it's one of the hardest messages you'll preach. It's one of the hardest things that you got to, and I don't know if y'all seen, I was in a panic. I come in, I said, "Rhonda, I've lost my notes." I went out and told JM, I said, "JM, pray." I went to the car and looked for him. He wasn't in the car. And I run in, I said, "Rhonda, I've lost my notes." I could have preached without them, but I had things laid out like I wanted. She reached in there and pulled them out. I said, "Boy, you are a team player." Terry was talking about team players. But I want to share something with you. I don't want to just leave you Acts 2:24, the Bible said when Peter was preaching that great message that I'm longing to hear one day, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. See, hell and the grave could not hang on to Jesus. Could not keep him down. That third morning, he stepped out of the grave. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, he came out with the keys of death and hell. Triumphant over the grave. He took the sting of death and took it right out of our lives. And because of what he did on Mount Calvary and caused the tombs empty, we've got that same hope and promise if we call upon his name. I'm just about finished, but I want to. Man has a free will. We make our own decisions, and God will not encroach in on our free will. And if man, the price of a man having a free will is there had to be a hell. If you don't want nothing to do with God, and you don't want nothing to do with heaven, and you don't want nothing to do with Jesus Christ, and you don't want nothing to do with the spiritual matters, then there's a place that's just opposite of that. I don't think hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible says that it enlarges its borders. If you're under the sound of my voice today and you go to hell, you'll go as an intruder. Jesus has paved the way. Let me ask you something. Now, this is just hypothetical. Say that I told you at the end of the service I had laying back here on the table a gift card for everybody to go have lunch free today. If I ever bring any beef for lunch on Sunday, it'd be from Chick-fil-A. But, and I had that gift laying back there. And when you walk out, I said, now, when you go out, get you one of those cards. I'm sure there'd be some that wouldn't get them. Well, I've got as much money as a preacher. I don't need him buying my dinner. There'd be some that would forget it. If it wasn't for Rhonda, I'd forget it. There'd be some that just say, I've got something at the house, I'm okay. And there'd be excuses and reasons, but the free gift was back there. Lunch was laying there, ready, prepared. You had the opportunity to say, yeah, I'll take it, or no, I'm going to let it slide. See, that's the way salvation is. It's far greater than any lunch. But it's a gift, and it's already been paid. It's taken care of. You don't have to do nothing. I didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to do nothing. We come by faith and accept the free grace of Jesus Christ. He's paid the price. He's already took care of the debt. It's paid. And all I got to say is I accept. Yes, I'll take that card. Today, in this time of invitation, there may be some here that never been saved or don't know for sure if they are. I'm going to give you the opportunity today to come and call upon Jesus before it's too late. We have no promise of tomorrow. There's no promise that we would ever make it back to the house of the Lord. Will you come today before it's too late? And then I want another part of that invitation. Have you got some family that don't know the Lord? Have you got some friends you just think the world of that don't know the Lord? Have we got some folks that will go to hell if something don't change pretty soon? I'm going to ask you to come and pray for those folks. And that question that I ask, do we care if a sinner goes to hell. If we can't say, yes, I'm 100% care and concerned about people going to hell, I'm going to ask you to come in and pray for a burden. Lord, make me more concerned. Make me more involved in the work of the Lord so people will miss this horrible place. I don't want anybody to go there. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, I'm so thankful for your blessings. I'm so thankful, God, for your mercy and grace. And I'm thankful of Jesus Christ that came and labored on this earth for us, gave himself and everything that he poured himself out like a drink offering. His blood ran down. He gave every drop of blood that he had. He gave everything for our salvation. Lord, I thank you for that today. And Father, I ask you that you would bless and touch in this time of invitation. And Lord, there be anybody here today that don't know you. Father, this would be the day they'd call upon you. Lord, it don't matter the good things we've done, how good we are, how good our family is. We had to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. Lord, I pray that you would touch, and God, that you would give us a burden for our lost. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Members that you don't know if they're going to make it or not? Are you concerned about them? Will you come? I tell you, the Christians need to hear about hell. We need to be reminded. What about you? Are you here this morning and you don't know if you'd make it to heaven? You don't know where you would wind up if you take your last breath? Will you come? Will you come today? Jesus has paid the way. He's paid the ticket. All we have to do is receive it by faith. Will you come? Sometimes, folks, and I've had people say, well, I can't live the Christian life. I can't either. That's why I'm trusting Jesus with it. That's why I'm casting my cares on him. That's why I put my faith in him. He has accomplished. He fulfilled the law that I could not fulfill. And because of his righteousness, I become righteous when I call upon him. And don't think for a minute that, well, I can't do it. Well, we can't, but we trust him. And he covers our sins under the blood. He takes everything, takes care of the problem. As we sing some more of this verse, will you come today? If God's moving on your heart, will you come? time to come, will ye come? That encourages to work harder. Amen. If you want something special, you got to work hard for it. Used to, so many times that Rhonda and I be wanting to go somewhere on a vacation, and she'd say, "Well, you don't really have the money," and I'd say, "Lord, send me a side job," and I'd get a phone call. And I'd make enough money we could go on a vacation. If we want the blessings, we got to work for it. Amen. Less labor for the souls of men. I can't imagine somebody going to hell. Especially somebody I love. Let's work harder than we've ever worked. But I want to send us out on a good note. Let's thank God for what He's done. Let's thank for the provisions that He's made. Gary, let's sing 58. Sing it, sister. You sing it.